Okay, we can start.
All right, good evening. Adequate notice of the meeting of the Lawrence Township Planning Board has been provided by filing the annual meeting schedule with the municipal clerk as required by law and by filing this agenda and notice with the municipal clerk, posting prominently in the municipal building and mailing to the Trenton Times and Trentonian newspapers. Can we get a opening roll call, please?
Okay. Kevin Nerwinski is as an excused absence. Mayor Farmer?
Here.
Ms. Connolly?
Here.
Mr. Denver?
Here.
Mr. DeShula?
Here.
Phil Duran has an excused absence. Terrence Leggetts has an excused absence. Ms. Lovelace?
Here.
Ms. Perry? Mr. Hendricks has an excused absence, and Mr. Scipio has an excused absence.
We're going to open it up for public participation. This is for items that are not on the agenda. If anybody wants to come up? Nope? Good? Okay, good. All right, we'll move on. No minutes for approval, no resolutions. So we're going straight to the application. Minor site plan with bulk variance application, SP5/25. Lawrence Shopping Center Associates, LLC at 2495 Brunswick Park. Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening, board members. For the record, my name is...
You just have to hit that button on the bottom. You don't have to pull it close to you because it'll echo, but...
Yeah,
that's perfect.
All right, thank you. For the record, my name is Lisa John Bossom with the law firm Chiesa, Shahinian, and Jantomasi on behalf of the applicant. This is an application for minor site plan approval with very minor variances that our professional will go through momentarily. It's to retrofit space within the existing Lawrence Shopping Center that was formerly occupied by a portion of Burlington. It's going to be occupied by Tractor Supply Company. With that, I just asked to call our first witness, who's Josh Seawald with Dynamic Engineering. He's going to be testifying this evening in the capacity of both a civil engineer as well as a professional planner.
Just checking with our attorney, Mr. Schneer, we have a jurisdiction.
Madam Chair, proof of notice, proof of publication are in order. We have jurisdiction this evening.
And should we swear in the experts? Or?
Seawald, do you swear the testimony you're about to give is truthful?
I do.
Thank you. For our record, if you could give us your full name and spell your last name.
Certainly. Josh Seawald, S-E-W-A-L-D, from the firm Dynamic Engineering Consultants.
Thank you very much.
I believe it's been a few years since Josh has appeared before the board. If you'd like to go through his qualifications, please.
Good evening again. I have my Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering from Temple University, my Master's of Science in Civil Engineering from Rutgers University. I do this on a nightly basis. Tonight is hearing number 49 for me in 2025. I was here previously back in 2019, so 6 years ago, with Lisa working on this facility as well for the LA Fitness that unfortunately never came to fruition.
And is your license still current?
Correct, both the engineering license as well as my planning license.
And may please be accepted as a civil engineer and professional planner?
Yes.
Thank you. First exhibit. There we go. All right, so this is the aerial map exhibit. It is the same exhibit that's part of the record civil drawings. I don't believe we have to quite yet mark it in. It's sheet two of the record civil drawings. This is to just quickly go through some of the existing conditions to familiarize the board and the public with the property that we'll be discussing this evening. It's block 2001, lot 2.01. Address is 2495 Brunswick Pike, overall known as the Lawrence Shopping Center. We have 1,350 feet of frontage on Route 1, which is Brunswick Pike. We also have some limited frontage in the rear, which is the western side and the left side of the exhibit with 135 feet. The center's been developed for quite some time. You guys have seen some new tenants come in. The applicant, Lawrence Shopping Center Associates, LLC, over the years have put some new facade upgrades. You've seen some new tenants roll in, such as the Lidl grocery store, the Starbucks, the Aspen Dental. You see that nice new ID sign that's located on Route 1, and that's just part of the continuing and ongoing redevelopment of the parcel. The property is located within the highway commercial zone. To the north of us is Texas Avenue. That's onto the top of the page. Beyond that is the R4 zoning. To the south of us is the Shabacon Creek, as well as the church and another R4 zone beyond. To the east of us again is Route 1 and further HC uses. And then finally to the west is Princeton Pike in the R4 zone. As you can see on this exhibit, the site's fully built out, various structures throughout it. You can see on the northern side of the property is some of the construction associated with the multifamily development that will be coming online as well. I'm going to go to our next exhibit. This will be our first marked exhibit. This is the overall site plan rendering. I'm going to open up one more after that as well and zoom in for the site plan rendering. So this exhibit is overall site plan rendering. We can mark this and identify as an exhibit A1. Same orientation as the previous exhibit. North is to the top, bottom is to the south. It's the same arrow map that everybody was just looking at, but what we did on this exhibit was color the orange box so everybody knows exactly where we'll be discussing tonight associated with the Tractor Supply. Don't want to spend too much time on this, just wanted to get the overall property up there so everybody can see it. And now we're going to zoom into exhibit A2. We could really go through some of the detail of the application this evening. There we go. This will be site plan rendering marked as Exhibit A2. This is the site plan sheet overlaid onto the landscape plan and then colored for tonight's presentation purposes. You still see that aerial background that you saw in the first couple exhibits that we presented. Again, the Tractor Supply box is colored, but that is an existing building. There are no new expansions to the shopping center. And we'll go through some of the site features that are unique. First and foremost, what is a Tractor Supply company? It's important to understand that, yes, it's a retail use. It's a permitted use within the HC zone. That's why we're here before you this evening. But it's important to understand what Tractor Supply is, how their site is designed, because we're going to talk about the outdoor storage and some of the things that are associated with this facility. Tractor Supply is essentially a niche hobby retailer. Their customers are typically people who own as small as a little garden in the back, maybe a couple acres of a hobby farmer. Maybe you have different kind of pets at home, horses, goats, dogs, cats. If you've ever been inside of a Tractor Supply company store, they are all geared to someone working on the land. Fence posts, wood posts, chicken coops, all things associated with the outdoor lifestyle. So, as Lisa mentioned in her opening, Burlington Coat Factory is scaling down a little bit, as everybody has heard in some of the retail redevelopments that have been going out throughout the state and the country, and they just need a smaller space to exist. So Burlington Coat Factory is going to remain in the center. They essentially want to cut their building in half, and then the applicant is looking to now lease that corner of the building to a Tractor Supply company. It will be approximately 33,180 square feet. Again, the building is exactly the same. It'll be retrofitted. We do have some architecturals, which I'll walk you through as well. The first component that is unique, I would say, to Tractor Supply that you don't see at other retail uses is they have what's called a fenced outdoor display area, their FOD area. And they have two associated with this site plan. This gray hatch area that my cursor is rolling over, that's on the south side. Out there today is a row of parking spaces. So it's pavement out there. We're going to convert that and fence around it. And then in addition to that, in the rear of the building, where there's a very large parking lot with nothing going on, to the west, we have a second location for that fenced outdoor display. Why does Tractor Supply have a fenced outdoor display area? It's because these large, bulky products wouldn't work well in those narrow retail aisles. The same way that you've been to a Dollar General or a grocery store, essentially a retail aisle is designed for a shopping cart. These items that they sell, like a snowblower, a chicken coop, fence posts, don't fit inside of the store. So that's why it's unique for them to have 30,000 square feet inside for their products. And then they have this outdoor stores to be able to maneuver and be able to help you get it onto maybe your trailer or into your pickup truck. The second thing they have, which is right along the front of their facility, is called the sidewalk display area. This is common with some retail people. Basically, throughout the seasons, they will get different products that come in. In the wintertime, maybe they'll have a slow burrow up front. In the springtime, maybe they'll have a chicken coop, or maybe some bagged mulch that will be located up there as well. The third area that they have that's specifically located, and I colored this in dark gray on the south side, it's called their equipment and trailer display area. From a site plan standpoint, it's just part of the parking lot. It's an extension of the parking lot. There's no structure associated with it. But from a lease standpoint, Tractor makes this identify on the site plan, should the board vote favorably, that there's going to be some trailers staged there, and they are for sale. And those trailers are low-lying. They hook up to the back of your car or pickup truck. Should you want to be buying one of these large, bulkier items, you can buy a trailer and take it with you, essentially. The last site feature that we need to discuss from two more site features. In the back rear fenced outdoor display area, there is a bulk propane tank. So this is not an exchange, like you may see at like a gas station or a Home Depot. This is a 1,000-gallon bulk propane tank. And if you have a 20 to 100-pound tank, whether it's for your barbecue or as large as a tank that goes onto an RV, you can go to the back, the employee will come out and they'll help you fill that up and then load it back onto your car. The final item from a site plan standpoint is our live goods canopy. This is essentially a garden center canopy. And this is recently new in the past couple of years. I've worked on over 20 different Tractor Supplies in New Jersey, and I would say not all of them have this feature right now. But as Tractor continues to serve the New Jersey market, you're starting to see this live goods center come in. It's a fancy word for basically having a covered garden center. Inside there will be various different plants, mulch, things that everyone is used to at a garden center. It is not one of those big garden centers that maybe you see at a Home Depot, a Lowe's, or a Walmart, but it is only 2,600 square feet. So it's open air, but it does have a canopy over top of it for climate control reasons. Some other unique components of Tractor Supply, just to give some operational testimony. They are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. On Sundays, they open up 1 hour later at 9 a.m. and they close an hour earlier at 7 p.m. They generally have between 14 and 18 employees that will be part-time through full-time, as well as the occasional store manager. They only get one tractor trailer delivery a week, which is actually quite impressive for a 30,000 square foot box. That tractor trailer will come from a warehouse and bring all the different products on pallets. It will park into the loading area that's located on the south side of the building, tucked behind the fenced outdoor display area. So should you be in the main parking facility of the shopping center, you're not going to see that tractor trailer because you're located behind the canopy structure and you're located behind that fenced area. That one tractor trailer that comes once a week will unload all of the product into that loading area. He's on site for about 30 to 45 minutes and then gets moving on to the next facility. Another component, of course, of the site plan is they do have a small trash enclosure. The reason they have such a small trash enclosure is because those pallet boxes, the pallets and then the boxes and the shrink wrap that come off the truck, go back onto the truck and get recycled at their main facility. That's in essence what we're looking to do from a site plan standpoint. Again, converting an existing space of Burlington Coat Factory and then taking paved areas today and putting in some unique outdoor storage space components associated with really this retail niche use of Tractor Supply. When we did meet with Mr. Barbisi many months ago in an informal TRC matter, one of his recommendations, which was a good one, was that driveway that comes out from Princeton Pike and then turns south and kind of wraps its way in an S-turn around the development, he recommended landscaping that area. One, it'll help beautify the drive access out to the roadway. Two, it'll give a little bit of a buffer to that fenced outdoor space, and it was a good recommendation. With that, it also allows us to say that we're reducing on-site impervious coverage by over 5,000 square feet. In doing so, that now improves some of the things that are going on in a more old-school style shopping center, where you're improving stormwater management, adding some green space, adding landscaping. It was a good recommendation from Jim's office. Speaking of landscaping, on the south side of the building where we're putting in the fenced outdoor display and the loading area, there's a few trees that already line the curved islands. There's a couple comments from your professionals that basically say if they're dead, diseased, or not doing well, they should be replanted. We'd be happy to make that as a condition of approval. In addition to that, at the base of every one of those landscaping plants, we do add a few more deciduous and evergreen shrubs at the bottom just to improve the aesthetics as you're driving around that curve. And then, as I mentioned a few moments ago, right at that entrance drive coming out from Princeton Pike, we do have another three trees and 21 shrubs over there. I believe it was your environmental commission that asked if they could increase from 3 trees to 9 trees, and we'd be happy to make that as a condition of approval as well. From a lighting plan standpoint, we have 5 LED wall packs that will be on the building to illuminate these new outdoor spaces. There was one comment from your planner's office asking if we can, should you vote an approval, do an existing lighting study, making sure that the area light poles around the facility are still operating, and if not, we'll replace those fixtures as well. One of the questions and comments we received in your planner's letter was basically, hey, we've seen in other Tractor Supplies where the outdoor storage areas are actually connected. How is it going to function on this site? So what we do have is a sidewalk that wraps around the entire south side of the building that has a door that you can access the Tractor Supply building into the fenced outdoor display. In addition, which I'll show momentarily on the elevations, the western side also has a door where there's a crosswalk that you'll be able to reach the fenced outdoor display. That's why it's fully pedestrian capable to go to both outdoor display areas and, of course, all 3 sides of the parking lot that will be wrapping around this unique portion of the shopping center. Let me pull up the elevations. So although we are showing the signage, and it was part of our application, we are withdrawing signage. And for the only reason that we are working for the applicant this evening, and Tractor Supply Corporate does their own building permit, and they want to handle their own signage. So should you vote favorably on this, you're going to have a sign consultant back here talking about the different variances associated with signage. So your planner accurately identified the variances, but we will not be seeking them this evening. And even though they're on this presentation for representation purposes, it's not what will be associated with tonight's approval. So this is simply a colored version of the elevations that were submitted to the board. And we'll actually start on the bottom of the sheet.
This should be marked as A3.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. On the bottom of the exhibit, you'll see the front facade elevation. On the right will be the new Burlington facade, and then on the left will certainly be the Tractor Supply. Tractor always likes to have what we like to call a tower-like entrance. On the top, they use corrugated metal panels with red gooseneck lighting over their sign. And then what is signature for them is a nice red band that goes around their building. That's what allows them to pop on a regular retail facade. In addition to that, of course not, because they will have a new tower-like feature, will have new storefront glazing and doors and a vestibule to be able to get into the actual space. As you can see in the elevations, you'll see 2 different paint colors. That's done on purpose to ensure that it breaks up the facade massing and the height of the building. In addition to that, the canopy that you see right to the left of the Tractor Supply sign, that is what that garden center is going to look like, that live goods center. It's fully open air underneath it, as you can see, but at top they do have that triangular canopy structure. Everything is steel and bolted into the concrete building below it. The middle elevation, working from bottom to the top, the middle elevation is if you were looking at the southern facade. On the right is where the entrance door is. You'll see in the middle there's another door. That allows you to walk from the inside of the retail building into the fenced outdoor display area. And then located on the left side of that exhibit, you'll see the roll-up door. That way when the truck comes and they park in the loading area, that pallet jack driver or the forklift driver will be able to take the material out of the truck and roll it into the back half house in the storage of the retail component. Lastly, at the top, you'll see the elevation. This is if we were looking west, standing in that remote parking area, looking at the back side of the building. That's that new door that we'll be able to walk in, so you can go on the crosswalk and get in and out of the fenced outdoor display area. There's another roll-up door for a loading purpose, although it is not our intention to do loading there. It's kind of existing out there today, so they want to leave it to remain. And then fully on the right side of the top elevation, you'll see the sliding gates where you can maneuver in and out of the fenced outdoor display, as well as the back of the canopy over the live goods center. Overall, it's a new tenant. They have some unique aspects associated with their outdoor display, their bulk propane, their trailers. But really what the applicant is looking to do is backfill a portion of their facility. And 33,000 square feet is not a small space in regards to today's retail tenants. We do have two variances that we'll have to discuss, but we can get into that in a second if you want. We can break or we can keep rolling through it, whatever the board or the professionals prefer.
Okay, we'll start with some questions.
Yeah, just technically, I understand Burlington is going to still go to stay as a tenant?
Correct.
So for Tractor Supply, are they going to do direct lease or are they going to do a sublease under Burlington? How are they doing that?
I don't know if we have those details. Yeah. I'm not the transactional attorney, just the land use attorney for the shopping center owners.
All right. Just curious about that, because whether Burlington stays, whether they're going to guarantee if it's a sublease or so, but just a point of information.
Burlington has been, I can't advise the lease, I'm just a civil engineer, but what I can advise is Burlington has been involved in this design process because we have to submit landlord permits to put up a demising wall, relocate some internal utilities, and then Tractor has to come into the side. So they've been included along the way because there will be some disruption to their existing facility and staying open, and then Tractor will be coming as well through construction. So they've been fully engaged. I just don't know the lease structure.
Okay. And then you mentioned, and I think you already answered the question, trucks will come in with supplies only once a week, so you're not going to have any problems with trucks idling early in the morning or late at night, as we would in a typical shopping center.
That's correct, and they can't actually come after operating hours because there's no one to open up the doors.
Sounds good.
Well, they're going to have to redo their sign too eventually.
Correct.
So they're probably definitely involved in this. Questions?
Thank you. I'm a little concerned about the sidewalks. In that side area there, much more so than the rest of the shopping center. Cars tend to be a little bit more reckless and a little faster around that S-curve, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's the way we do it. The outdoor display there, if you're going to have leaf blowers or snow blowers or even grills, is going to push people real close to that road there. Is there any intention of expanding that sidewalk?
So the sidewalk display area, I want to make sure you can see my cursor. There we go. So the sidewalk display area is actually on the eastern side right here. Mm-hmm. This is a landscape curb island so that no one should be walking along that busier access aisle that you mentioned. This is a fenced outdoor display area, and internally, during operating hours, there will be gates that are open that allow you to walk along the existing sidewalk that's there today, along that southern side. Once you get outside of the fenced outdoor display, there is still that sidewalk. In addition to that, there's a sidewalk on the western side. There's also another door. So when you will be inside of this Tractor Supply, there's going to be wayfinding signage that say, if you're looking to go to fenced outdoor display area number one, you can use this door on the southern facade. There will also then be secondary signage inside that says, hey, you can come to the western side and enter this area. And that's why we have this really nice big crosswalk area that comes out of that back side of the building for pedestrian purposes. So there's still sidewalk around all three portions of the building, and then during operating hours, the gates will be open so you can maneuver well throughout all different areas. But we don't want to encourage walking in that faster access aisle, which is why we're doubling down on the landscaping of those curb islands to not allow people to kind of walk through there.
And that's a great idea, but people tend to walk around that building a bunch, and not only during, not only until 7 o'clock at night. So I'm concerned with people are going to be walking directly in that roadway. In what's going to be a blind curve with very tall goods. I'm not the civil engineer here. Is there a way to safely enclose that sidewalk with access to it when the rest of the shopping center is open? Is there a good way to get around that building? And I did like the crosswalk aisle, by the way. Mm-hmm. Aside from parallel parking practice, that area is almost never used.
I saw it last week.
Yeah, sure. My son was there this weekend.
See it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know it's a big question, but it's a real safety issue. Mm-hmm. with going around that side of the building.
Yeah, Josh, so what you get is a lot of people from the west side that, that walk into the shopping center. So right now they can walk along the building, but after hours that gate closed, they're not going to have that ability, so it's going to push them out into the drive aisle to get, you know, around.
So I think...
Even if it's we have plenty of on the other side or something.
Yeah, so that's what I was just about to say. We have plenty of parking on the facility, well in excess of what your ordinance allows or even what IT would consider. And I think you know the shopping center well. We're never parked out at the almost 2,000 parking spaces. So without designing on the fly, and I'm sorry, this is jumping around on me, what I think we could do, should you vote favorably on it, is work with your professionals where we could get a crosswalk across the pavement to get to the southern parking area, which I don't believe is used a lot, and then delineate that crosswalk along those parking, so be on the opposite side of the access aisle, and then that'll bring you back to the front sidewalk area that writes in line with all the facades. That way there's a delineated space, it's crosswalk, it tells people to slow down, and like you said, they do drive a little faster around that curve. I hope with now, we're showing two new crosswalks, one up front for the ADA spaces and one in the back. If we throw another one, maybe even two, that'll slow down the traffic a little bit because you see this impeding striping and then possibly even some signage. Hopefully that slows down a little bit of the traffic as well. So the other component, which will tie into our variance in a little bit, this property is in this park very heavily within a floodplain. So new structures are incredibly regulated. All of these features are at the same elevation. So the striped crosswalk actually works well with the DEP regs. So we keep it at the same elevation. We're not worrying about raising or lowering sidewalk or the curbing, but if we can keep it behind those curb landscape islands, we can satisfy that recommendation.
If Jim thinks it's a good idea, I'd be with it.
Yeah, I'd like to work with him on it and come up with a path that works the best. Instead of trying to figure it out necessarily tonight, we'll just agree that we'll provide that kind of path and
we can do that.
We'll make that work.
Thank you. Just help me out for a second. Are we going to be using the parking lot that's on the Princeton Pike side? Is that going to be used for parking?
I'm sorry, say that again.
The parking lot that exists there, is that going to be used for parking for Tractor Supply?
So technically it's everybody. So the Tractor doesn't get a delineated parking space as part of their lease. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's using the shopping center can park in different areas. Okay. But those existing spaces that are out there today that are not going to be covered with the outdoor display will still remain as parking.
Any improvements to that would be through the shopping center, LLC, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are you using the back door? There used to be a door on the Princeton Pike side of that building. Are you using that door?
We are, yes. That will allow them, and the cursor on the screen allows them to leave the back of the Tractor Supply, cross the access aisle, and get to that fenced outdoor display where the bulk propane is located.
Okay. So that whole area is coming into play. So I see the concern is, but I guess with time people will become accustomed to something being there that wasn't before. So, okay, so you are using that part. With that parking, I guess this is for the Barn Shopping Center. Are you looking to improve that parking area?
We think we did with the landscape island that's next to the outdoor display, but the rest of the parking lot is kind of out of the scope right now.
Okay.
I have a question regarding that back entrance. Aren't they going into like a supply area though when they go into the store?
So that where my cursor is, this will be another fenced outdoor display.
Right, but then when they go into the store, where are they going into the store?
That'll just be more retail area.
I understand that. Oh. But when the person goes into the store, aren't they going into like a storage area of the store?
Oh, good question.
It says stock room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the way that Tractor will set this up, the very large, infrequently sold items will be put in the back area. So they're more popular, higher turnover items are located right connected to the retail area. So this front fenced outdoor display area, that will have, like we said, the plants, the bag mulch, and some smaller items that turn over faster. not a lot of people buy, you know, 400 things of fence or very large structure. So, and you also pay for it first. What ends up happening is you go into the tractor supply, maybe you order it online, and you say, hey, I want to buy this large chicken coop or a trowel for my pigs at home. Those bigger, bulkier items will be stored in the back.
And people will be able to walk through them? Like IKEA?
Correct.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure.
So the entrance, the main entrance to the building is where Burlington enters, right?
That is correct, yes.
Would you ask if Burlington only could have the one entrance then, in the front?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's right. That's my understanding.
Where the signage is.
Is your question?
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm still waiting.
Your impervious ratio says 0.69 and it's staying 0.69, but you said you're removing impervious?
We are removing impervious coverage.
Where is that?
On the northern side of the where the bulk propane and the fence outdoor display is, all that area today is fully paved over, mm-hmm. and that's going to be completely converted to green space with landscape.
Okay, that little corner, that corner there with the trees.
Is, correct.
That's the, okay. And then the rest is not asphalt, but concrete.
We're going to make it concrete. There's pavement out there today.
Got it. So also because everything's in the flood hazard area, I'm wondering about containment of materials and things getting washed away. And then especially because there's no stormwater management and everything's going directly into the Shabbaton, I'm especially concerned about fertilizers, polymerized soil products and things like that.
Yeah, so we're totally out of the floodway. That was a requirement of being able to even propose what we're proposing. But you are correct. The rest of this center in this area is completely within the 100-year floodplain. So it is fully fenced. That's a good thing. So you won't have anything or bulkier product leaving those areas into the flood. From a fertilizer standpoint, every single one of those items are bagged and up on a pallet. And that's one of the benefits. It's not like a bulk storage yard where you go and, you know, they'll load up your truck or load up a small dump truck. Everything is in bags and on a separate pallet.
How high up are the pallets?
They'll be in a rack system, so you'll have, you know, one at the lower, it's like 5 inches, and then it'll be up on a couple different racks.
So maybe 2 feet, potentially, and the lighter items also, the floatables. So as you're talking, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And could there possibly be also, I'm wondering if there's a flash flood warning, if there's protocol for moving things inside or?
So they can't move it inside. That's why they're doing kind of the outdoor storage.
Question is, so if it's going to be outside year-round,
yes.
If there's a storm or anything like that,
correct.
That stays outside?
Yes.
Okay.
A suggestion was also for the tree areas, if even though it's not required, if they could be little bioretention pits, so at least first flush could go through.
Yeah, we saw that comment in one of the, I believe it was the Environmental Commission. Unfortunately, at this time, we're just not proposing that. And one of the main reasons is not just to say no, is because the reduction of impervious coverage does do what those small rain gardens will essentially do. That reduction is going to improve water quality to the local drainage shed. It's going to reduce the volume that's been out there for many, many years. It's going to reduce runoff rates, which will then further help the flood, not substantially, it's a big flood in this area next to the Shabbaton Creek. And further, it promotes groundwater recharge, which out there today, there's almost nothing. My guess, too, is if you were to dig a hole in that parking lot, it'd be very shallow, seasonal high groundwater, based on how close you are to the stream and the wetlands. So with today's regulations requiring 2.5 feet minimum to the seasonal high groundwater, we would maybe potentially have to raise the site just to get to the bottom of our basin. And we can't fill within a floodplain. So we're in this challenging environment of trying to make this site better because it's been there for many, many decades. But every time we touch something, particularly in the flood layer, flood hazard area, it's heavily restricted by not just your ordinance, but DEP as well. So there is a positive. We want the board and the public to know that reducing on-site impervious coverage is one of the best ways to improve local water quality, but also reduce the amount of volume going to that watershed.
So is this permit by rule in the floodplain there?
Yes.
Okay. And then some of the, you had mentioned the trees and adding some more, which is great. Mm-hmm. I was wondering about the species too, because some of those, it's really, really hot there and with the direction of the sun, like the witch hazel, that won't work there.
We can go with the recommendations of the different species. The applicant has no preference. We proposed red maple. If you want a different species, that's totally fine with us.
Cool, and more canopy will cool that hot area.
Makes sense.
Too. Okay, thank you.
Of course.
Would you mind terribly if I followed up on that? Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is more of a question for someone familiar with the business practices of Tractor Supply, I would guess. Thanks. But the bags on the racks are very concerning because those rip open all the time. And in a nice big storm, that's going to fly everywhere. I mean, it's a fenced-in area, great, that'll capture the bags, but that's not going to capture the runoff. So what types of supplies are we talking about? Are we talking about things that are environmentally friendly? What, is there some sort of practice here that's going to make us think, oh, these aren't going to poison the Shapcook?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's going to poison it. The items that could potentially, I guess, be a concern, for example, like animal feed, is inside of the store. Really what is outside is bag mulch, which is regulated, and the type that can go into it. And again, this garden center is for more of that hobby farmer. You're not getting pesticides here or other items that you may see on much larger commercial farms. So really it's for your landscaping beds or... To give you an idea to the board, Tractor Supply is 33,000 square feet. Inside there is trailer parts, welding equipment, clothing for the outdoorsmen, a huge area for horse feed and goats. This live goods garden center is 2,600 square feet. It's a very small area. It's really an accessory and an ancillary use to what their main storage is. So, and I told your question is very fair and reasonable. You go to Walmart, a Lowe's, a Home Depot, and you just see racks and racks of all these bag mulch. That's not what's here. Basically, what Tractor Supply is trying to do is, if you're coming to us anyway for all these different products and you need 4 or 5 bags of mulch to make sure that your front landscaping bed looks nice at home, you're going to stop and get it from us. If you need a ton of mulch or a ton of fertilizer, you're not coming to Tractor Supply. They just don't have that kind of product line.
I'm trying to think in my head. I'm usually more creative than this with conditions. Sorry. But I'm trying to think in my head of a way that we can satisfy the applicant that they're not going to have to change their practices, but we can be assured that there's not going to be something that's going to be harmful, that's going to spill out. Perhaps that is something that we can craft with our with someone who's more familiar with Tractor Supply business practices about any chemicals that would be harmful in a creek environment won't be housed there.
Yeah, I mean, we can certainly add that to the, they don't have hazardous materials. Dynamic does an environmental practice. We would happen to be talking about this from a land use standpoint. And the other positive thing about Tractor Supply, it is a corporate store. So a lot of times you guys are here listening to the application, but it ends up being franchised out. This is a corporate store. They have corporate requirements for professional maintenance of their property and landscaping, their own in-house policy. So I don't think there'd be any issue with potentially, should this board vote favorably, writing a condition that says certain materials have to be stored properly. Should it be not cleaned up, there could be a violation and enforced. There's certainly something I'll leave it to the attorneys on they can craft, but I have no problem saying that because I know Tractor runs a corporate location and requirement, and I won't have to worry about a local franchisee taking care of it.
If our professionals would be willing to work with them on it, I'd be satisfied with that.
You can do that.
My guess is they're not keeping fertilizer outside in the weather. That's probably on a shelf in the store. It's probably mulch and mostly natural materials out there, but we can work with the applicant on that.
Because it would lose money if it went bad. If it was damaged, you would lose money.
Yeah, but we throw it out. We can't sell open bag, right? So we would get rid of it.
Yeah, but the concern is nitrates, phosphates, even manure and E. coli and bacteria, not as much pesticides.
Okay. But Mr. Schmier said he's good with working with them to craft a clause.
I'm good on pesticides.
He's got my word, my vote for it.
And polymerized soil products.
Yeah, good question. So I just want to go back to the signs. Just two things. So I'm a little concerned with the way you said you're deferring the signage. I mean, if you defer just the signage, and maybe our attorney can confirm it, you'd actually be coming back to the Zoning Board of Adjustment at a future date. I think it would be a good idea to at least have some approval that gives a certain size limitation on a sign that everybody's comfortable with, so that you're not, you know, coming back for a sign that is just slightly larger than conforming. We'll have to review the, the content of the sign, but I think in terms of the size and the look and how many, I think we could try to craft something tonight.
Appreciate the offer, but I think that if this is going to be kept with corporate for Tractor Supply, could we do a condition of approval that says, like, in the event that the signage package triggers a variance, that we would come back to the planning board? I mean, you leave it as a condition of approval?
Can it be done that way?
Sure. You could just call it an amended site plan application and just deal with the signage.
Yeah. Either way, but I've seen it done that way, is that it becomes a condition that the planning board would have continuing jurisdiction over the application in the event that there's a variance that's triggered for the sign package.
Yeah, I think you'd rather come before the planning board than the zoning board.
Why so?
Not that we don't want to jib again. You know.
Yeah, that's offensive.
And then the next town, actually, we have Best Buy and three meetings, others. Sure. We made it a condition of our overall planning application. Zoning is just a higher criteria, as you know.
No problem.
And then the other thing I just want to go back to were the, you talked about, I guess, the willingness to address some of the dead or dying trees that are on the site.
Yeah.
What would you say is the scope of that, just so we understand? Is that for the whole site, for just this limited area of the site?
It's a good question, Jim. I don't have authorization to say the whole shopping center. It's 52 acres in size.
Oh, yeah.
I would say everything around the Tractor Supply, both sides of the drive aisle that have trees on it, wrapping on the east, south and western area that goes and around it. So there's a bunch of landscape islands out there with trees. All that is included basically within the limit of Tractor Supply.
Okay. That's fair enough. If we say maybe within 100 feet of the building or something, or something
sure.
like that, maybe.
Yeah, that works.
And a follow-up to that, those were all honey locusts. So I'm wondering do you have to work with the rest? If you're doing these, are you working with the shopping center so that is it okay to do something separate than what the shopping center is doing it, or does there need to be some kind of consistency, or do they have?
You mean throughout the rest of the site?
Yeah, I counted 66 dead or missing honey locust trees.
You mean throughout the entire site?
Site-wide, yeah.
It's not really that many, but.
Yeah, it's not that many.
I think we need to find a better species because those don't seem to do too great there. The other problem here in those islands on the south side is you just don't have a lot of soil volume.
Yeah.
And it's pavement on either side. So we need to find something that's going to do well there. And
There's a lot of salt, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And invading.
Shopping center is amenable to planting whatever is recommended.
Okay.
Yeah,
if there
are
an opportunity
for us.
Okay. More questions?
No,
I think I'm good.
Can
we move on to the variances then?
Oh, sorry, I did have one question. You didn't talk about lighting a little bit, but and Beth had it in the planning notes, but dark sky standards, so 3,000 K, CCT or lower, fully shielded.
Yeah, so I have to be very careful when we say dark sky compliant, because dark sky compliant has a lot, it's a technical manual with a lot of different, but everything you just mentioned, we can comply with, okay? So 3,000 Kelvin, shielded, forward throw, downward facing, all the modern components of what you would get with the lighting plan will be associated with the wall packs that are on the building. I just can't say everything's fully dark sky compliant.
Yeah, got it. Thank you.
No problem.
So are you going to go over the signage? Are we going to do signage then?
Well, we're skipping signage.
We're just skipping.
Yeah, we're going to defer that, and they're going to come back to the planning board.
They took that for me and Lisa. Right.
I'm sure you really wanted to argue the sign variances tonight, Josh.
All right, so should we do the variances then?
Sure. So we have two variances that we're seeking tonight. The first one is section 431J. That is disturbance in the floodplain buffer. As you heard me throughout this evening, the property is fully located within a floodplain. Any type of new development, rehabilitation is going to trigger this need for this variance. Just to read a little bit into the record, there shall be no disturbance, including but not limited to grading and the placement of buildings within 100 feet of the 100-year floodplain, of a stream along all stream corridors, or from the upper bank for which a floodplain line has not been established. The entire property was in the floodplain, so any disturbance, trash enclosure, a new fence, triggers this need for this variance. As the board is fully aware, a deviation can be granted from your township planning board under the C2, the benefits outweighing the detriment. Basically, we call that the flexible planning alternative. We must prove that the positive benefits outweigh the negative. Positive, first and foremost for this project, is that we're reducing 5,000 square feet of impervious coverage. Even though we are disturbing, we're removing pavement from a floodplain. The continued redevelopment of an existing shopping center is certainly a planning positive. We're losing a vacant tenant space, and it goes to the more efficient use of land, which we'll talk about shortly from the purposes of planning, to be able to move back and re-tenant at the end of that shopping center. The property certainly has plenty of parking, as we discussed a little bit earlier, though, so this can accommodate these new and unique outdoor display areas that we'll be discussing. And we certainly comply with the permit by rule number 40 specifically. I don't see any negative components with this particular variance because we're disturbing within a floodplain, but you're getting some positive when it comes to stormwater management, and you're getting a positive with losing a tenant and backfilling it pretty quickly. I don't see a substantial detriment to the public good. Again, we're improving the public good by improving the floodplain situation by reducing impervious coverage. And I don't see a substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance. This development doesn't trigger the need for a parking variance, doesn't trigger the need for FAR. It's an existing facility that's been here for quite some time, and we get a new tenant associated with it. The second variance is associated with our canopy structure. It's 420E2D and then 420E2E. It's a similar code section. This is the canopy structure of the Live Goods Center. This is that garden center. Must be 25 feet from a principal building and or 50 feet from a vehicle circulation / parking area. We are 16.3 feet from the canopy to our building, and then 15.1 to the drive aisle. Again, same thing, C2 requirement, certainly not a C1 or a hardship. From a positive standpoint, the Live Goods Center provides shade in a portion of the outdoor fenced outdoor display area. The purpose of the canopy in itself, so the board is aware, is to protect the plants and the customers from weather, aka too much sun or too much rain, and provides that more comfortable shopping experience. Further prevents damage to those plants from the same thing, the excessive rain or the sun. It also extends the growing season for those plants. And finally, from the location of the canopy, it's located within a fence area. It almost acts as an extension of the building because of the interconnectivity between the use of the retail outdoor storage and the building. And lastly, there is a raised curb island that wraps all around it to give it that good delineation and demarcation from an access aisle. I totally understand why the code was written with good intent. It basically, if you have a separate accessory structure, keep it a decent distance from a building, probably for fire code and other items, and then also keep it away from a drive aisle for safety purposes. I think we satisfied that concern, again, with the fact that there's a fence and a curb island around it. And it is an open air structure, not just a regular accessory structure, and it fits well within the character of what Tractor Supply is used to doing. I don't see any substantial detriment to the public good. Overall, this is a large shopping center. It's 52 acres inside, hundreds of thousands of square feet of retail. I don't think you'll see too much of a difference from 2,600 square foot canopy over their fenced outdoor display area. And I don't see any substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance. Again, the variance is really internal. I don't like to class variances myself, but as a planner, I'm always looking at variances. How am I impacting my neighbor, the side and rear property lines, the residents that are nearby? This to the naked eye is going to look like a redevelopment of the corner of a shopping center. So if you're used to going in the center, it'll look like a brand new life at the corner. But if you're anywhere on the outside of this 52 acres, this variance is not going to have any impact to you at all. From advancing the several purposes of the municipal land use law, particularly purpose A, purpose G, and my favorite for this one will be purpose M. It encourages the coordination of the various public and private procedures, both of us here tonight, and activities shaping land development with the view of lessening the cost of such development into the more efficient use of lands. That last few words is the entire crux of this application, the efficient use of lands. Tractor Supply is looking to work with a vacant tenant space, and although they are unique and not just a regular retailer who has internal rows for shopping, they need some outdoor space associated with the products that they sell. With this, the municipality gets active and fully tenanted building. They now get a new tenant to come and service the overall community, not just pass by traffic that you may see from some smaller retailers. In addition to that, we're upgrading the landscaping, improving some of the lighting, and now we're reducing on-site pavement and helping the overall flooding condition in the area. So in my professional opinion, a win. And Tractor Supply still falls within that permitted use of the HC zone and follows along with the master plan and the re-examination updates that you guys have been having over these past few years.
Great, thank you. No further questions?
Any questions?
Comments?
Go ahead.
Actually, I think given the state of retail that's still shrinking, I think this will be a benefit for the shopping center and to the community. I'm satisfied with your explanation for the variances, which are relatively minor. 30,000 square feet is big. You know, there are shopping centers alone that this is significant. And if it's not going to be Tractor Supply, then it's got to be somebody else coming in, taking that large space. So the outdoor use that they're looking at is probably no different than what we have over in Home Depot and Nassau Pavilion. I'm satisfied with the compliance with noise and you know, what the applicant has testified to. So I'd be very much in favor of this application.
For our consultant, our engineer and planner, should we go over the conditions of each of the reports? Make sure
to do public comment first, or?
I just want to make sure that they testify that they're going to comply with your report. And
okay. Oh, yeah, we didn't actually do that either. Right. Yeah. Just to go through the reports, make sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll say for mine, I think
sure.
We've talked about all the issues in my report. The only thing that I mentioned in the report, which we didn't discuss, was the sign out on Princeton Pike. I recommended moving forward the sign, but that's really wasn't meant to be necessarily a condition. It's already been approved. It was really a suggestion, and I even made that to the owner of the center. I think he was amenable to trying to.
He did. I talked to Jack earlier today, the owner of the shopping center, and he did say he plans on moving forward as part of this project.
Oh, perfect.
We previously got that approved.
Yeah, it's been approved for some time. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I don't have any other issues in my report.
I think I heard Mr. Seawald address, excuse me, most of the questions that we had in our memo through his testimony, and I think they've agreed to work with our office on the landscape, the landscaping, the tree species, things like that. And the signage has been removed from consideration for tonight, so I don't believe there's anything else. Josh, you agreed to the nightlight test?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the lighting study, yep.
Madam Chair, I think that was it.
The fence, do you have a question about the fence?
Which one are you looking at?
4.5.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's uniform. The fence is an 8-foot picket fence on the elevations. It's uniform all around on all three sides. And it will be the same in the remote fenced outdoor display area to the west as well.
Sprinklers for the live food center, 4.7.
Yeah, so there's no fire suppression. It's just a metal canopy and they water plants.
The question is
irrigation.
About fire suppression.
Yeah, they just use a hose that's onto the side of the building. Okay.
And then there was questions about the trash enclosure.
It was a good comment by the planner's office. Basically, depending on the truck that comes in, if one can come in if it's front loading, but if it's rear loading, we might have to angle the trash enclosure. So what we'll do is we'll work with Tractor Supply Corporate, identify the private hauler that they're going to use, ask which truck, and if I need to, I'll rotate it a little bit. It stays in the same area, the size is the same. It's just about how it's oriented towards the access out so the truck can best access it.
Shade Tree Advisory Committee and the Green Committee talking about the easement. This is probably not in the same area either. 20-foot wide easement to the township that provides a trail connection between the Chappaquonk and Brunswick Pike.
So Lisa and I discussed before we came here this evening and we talked to the applicant. We don't want to say no, we just can't say yes to them. We wanted to explain why to the board and to the public. An easement comes with a lot of different things. There's legal requirements, insurance requirements, who's owning that easement, who's going to clear it. And from an engineering standpoint, the area that's currently proposed is fully within the floodway, flood hazard area, and located within the Delaware Raritan Canal Commission. So we don't want to say no, but I can't say yes as a condition of site plan approval. Because everything we're doing tonight, with the limited disturbance that we're proposing, can be granted by your board. So it's a good thought. We support it. We love the connectivity. It's a great map. It just, there's a little bit more that has to be discussed before we can simply say, yes, we'll grant.
I think if they wanted to reach out, the Shade Tree Commission or whomever, if they wanted to reach out to my office, we could have more discussions about it, but we would ask that it not be a condition that this board imposes, and I don't know even if the board could impose it because it would require a council town council action to actually approve it, and I'm assuming if they would, it would be a good thing, but it's actually within the jurisdiction of the council, really, as opposed to the planning board.
Questions on here. Is there any issues with the bathroom relocation for Burlington? That was the health department's question.
No, we'll work with that through the building department and the building permit plans.
Baylor, I'm guessing there is one. How about live poultry?
So it's a great question. I have to deal with this every time I do a Tractor Supply. So
surprisingly, yes.
Tractor Supply does sell baby chicks and ducks twice a year, usually around springtime and Easter, and then also right around now for the holidays. The way that we always see it from a land use planning and engineering standpoint, it's a retail good. I understand it's a live animal, so I don't mean any disrespect from that, but this is not a livestock facility. This is a promotion. It's a small pen. It's about 2 feet by 4 feet wide. It's the end cap of a retail aisle, and they're only there for a couple of weeks. They don't sell whole chickens. They're literally babies, and after a couple of weeks, they go back to the farm if no one ends up buying them. So there's a lot of permitting health department, your municipality, and also some other licenses that Tractor has to obtain themselves to be able to even do it. But from a land use standpoint, it's really just an accessory retail component of their facility. But yes, they will have baby chicks at their facility.
Inside or outside?
Inside.
Any other questions?
You took my question away.
Chicken. Our attorney, our engineer, or planner?
I'm good.
No,
I'm good.
All right, so let's take questions, comments from the public now.
Absolutely.
Come on up. Name and address, please.
Sure. David Bezenko, 5 Brothers Court.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give is truthful?
It is.
Thank you.
Yes. And I'm very happy to hear that you're willing to consider an easement. So I'm here representing the Friends of the Lawrence Greenway. We're a local nonprofit that advocates for connecting residents with nature and community resources without having to use a motor vehicle. So we've long had, I should also mention I'm one of the chairs in the Open Space Committee, and I'll have more to say about that later on. But we've long had the idea of having a trail along the Shabbaton that would actually stretch beyond what you see on this map here, all the way up to Drexel Woods. This, which is what we're calling the Lower Shabbaton Trail, would go from 206 at Notre Dame through Murray Park, Shabbaton Park, and then to Colonial Lake Park. And the only land in that trail that's not owned by the township would be the south bank of the Lawrence Shopping Center near Route Run, which is of course owned by the shopping center. And putting a trail easement on a planning board application, I know you've done that. Should also mention that this trail is in the master plan. So back in 2019, we worked with your planner and also engineer Parviz on the circulation plan amendment that was approved. It's called the circulation, and that was incorporated into the master plan in June of 2019. So the trail is not only our idea, but it's also your idea that you would like to see this connection. And requirements for a trail easement have been done by the planning board in the past with the Amazon development and Bridgewater Academy by Turtleback Park in 206. You have easements required. And going way back, the auto dealership, I think it was Lexus, that you required a trail easement around that. And so it's consistent with what the township and what the planning board has required in the past, though. And I'm very happy to discuss with you whether this is. It's mentioned that it is in a floodplain, which to me means that you're not really going to be able to put any buildings there. And so I think our trail easement would be a good use. I know with regard to liability, there is, the township of course has insurance, so I would have to leave this to what the legal advisors say, but there's probably a way of covering liability through the township. So anyway, the specific route of this trail was mapped out by us. Peter Wood of our nonprofit was instrumental in this. He has experience with building trails with the Textiles Preserve on Borpate Mountain. So he used some of the knowledge that he did to map out a route that you see on there that is buildable, but also takes us near the river and allows views. And you'll see where we're circled in purple towards the right of the map. there's two areas where we cross shopping center property. One is there's about an 8,000 square foot area where the small suburb is, and then there's the larger several acre area that we cross over there. So our ask to the planning board is to make this a condition. And as far as the route goes, this was done in mapping software, so I can export the route in probably any format that your consultants would need if they want to look at that. I also mentioned I'm on the Trails and Open Space Committee. The Trails and Open Space Committee was more, I would say, aggressive in what they were asking for. So they actually came to a consensus that the township and the applicant, the Lawrence Shopping Center, to look at whether or not a transfer or sale or some way of getting that property to south of the Shabbaton, which the shopping center is likely not going to be using, to have that become part of Lawrence Township open space. And the appeal of that is that gives the township a continuous string of open space along the Shabbaton from Murray Park, Shabbaton Park, and Colonial Lake Park. And that's what I have to say about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we permitted to ask questions of the commenter?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Please and thank you. As someone who's both lived and worked on the Shabbaton Creek, I'm a bit concerned about what you said.
Okay.
And I would love for you to allay those fears.
Okay.
You were talking about the trail starting at Notre Dame. And the Shabbaton Creek runs along the front there at Notre Dame High School. Part of it comes down past what used to be my law office, and part of it goes just up the road. There's not really a path to walk along the Shabbaton Creek from that area. My understanding is those other areas that you had identified, as well as at the shopping center, there's not really a good way to walk the Shabbaton Creek. So is there a plan to install something compliant with open space and that can go in the 100-year floodplain or the immediate floodplain? Is there something that you can put there to make it walkable?
So are you're talking about the route that's shown on this particular map?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Trails are done in floodplains. There's a... I believe there are general permits from the DEP to do that. So there's no existing trail. But the trail would have to be built. Mm-hmm. And what the easement would allow us to do is at some future time, and this would be Lawrence Township's call ultimately, but at some future time, implement the trail that's in the circulation plan for the township.
Okay. When the big Civil War, the big Revolutionary War buffs used to come to the office, we would play nice and let them parking in our parking lot, and they'd put on their waders and go along with the metal detectors, and they'd have to go literally up the creek doing the metal detecting. So it feels a little premature to try to get something out of the shopping center, particularly in combination with them just trying to get another store in, but that's the way I feel about it. Others obviously are going to have different opinions.
Yeah, to me, I would just comment on that is that we see this the shopping center coming before the planning board for approval is our opportunity to make this request.
Of course, and how are we going to know if you're not here to say it?
Yeah.
Are there, like with the Lawrence Hopewell Trail, and I'm sorry if it feels like cross-examination, I don't mean it that
way. Okay, that's fine.
With the Lawrence Hopewell Trail, there was a lot of planning and organization that went into that.
Yes.
There were plans and plans and plans and committees and organizations and all of that. So is there any sort of a structure like a body that would be able to take care of this trail, to take responsibility for this trail within the township.
So if the trail gets built, it would be under the supervision of Lawrence Township. And so we, as the Friends of the Lawrence Greenway, we are not equipped to take ownership of a trail. And so my answer is no, there's no non-profit or private organization. It would be a Lawrence Township responsibility.
Okay. And you can see that obviously I'm hinting at steps that we could take to make this thing closer to existing. With all of that, have any of the other places signed on to this idea of making a trail that people can go to? I mean, the parking lot in the Lawrence Shopping Center, if we can get it all to work out, it's a great access point. But, mm-hmm. You can't just have an access point with nowhere to go with it.
Right.
Has anybody else signed on?
So years ago, there was discussion with Notre Dame High School for that part. I think, Jim, you would remember that, and there was some letter many years ago, but that's so long ago now.
Right. Well, right now, I will tell you, the county, Mercer County, is working on a trail. I forget the name of it.
Cross County Connection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Maria.
Notre Dame is not going to let us.
I was going to say the same thing. Notre Dame is not in favor anymore.
I mean, that's just one conversation.
But I think there's still a route, though. I think there was still an option.
There's a second. There's an alternative. Yeah. I don't remember what it is. But
and I think their goal is to take it down to the circle of Whitehead Road.
Right.
So really up to that left circle that you have, I would say that's really already being handled by the county and this other trail. So I think, really this is kind of a splinter, I'll say, off of that existing trail that would connect you over to Colonial Lake.
That could be a tremendous, I'm just thinking from a business perspective, that would be a good traffic builder for the shopping center.
To bring people, you wouldn't be able to get to the shopping center though. They're on the other side of the creek.
Yeah, the business route run there, which is going to be replaced over the coming years. There's no direct cross street connection except US 1, US Business 1.
Yeah, I think just from our perspective representing the shopping center, this is a long time business owner in town. It's a family owned shopping center. I think they're looking to always keep improving the shopping center, and they're willing to work with you, and they're willing to work with the township if this is going to actually come to fruition, some sort of walking trail. I would just reiterate that I would ask the board respectfully not to make it a condition of approval, because there's obviously a lot of logistics that go along with this. Who's going to maintain it? Will the township council take the easement if it was granted? The liability, etc. There's a lot of just open questions. Could it actually be buildable within the floodplain, etc.? So again, totally willing to speak with you further about it, speak with the board engineer and the town engineer about future opportunities, but we would ask that it not be part of this application or condition.
I have a question for Ed along that lines, the legality. I'm not familiar with New Jersey law is on it, but in the land use courses I do teach, there are two cases, Dolan versus Tigard and Nolan versus California Coastal Commission, where it would stand for the principle that there has to be a rough proportionality between the condition or the application and the condition. And what bothers me is that Dolan, there is an extension of a building, 9,000 square feet, and the board imposed a condition that the applicant put a bicycle path on it, which took about 10% of the center, similar to a trail, and the court knocked it down, that there was not this rough proportionality. So I wonder if we could just look into that legally. I understand and appreciate what the applicant is willing to say and do, but I want to make sure that, it satisfies whatever test we have for relation of the condition to the application.
Yeah, I think the answer is that it's really not connected to this application. And there's earlier cases about you can't ask for a fire truck. So I think the representation's been made on the record that the shopping center owner is willing to talk with the organization or this to see whether or not something can be done or should be done either now or in the future. And I think that's about as far as the board could go legally. I don't think we could make it a condition.
No, and I agree, and I appreciate, and we should memorialize in some way, the willingness of the applicant to voluntarily do this so we don't run into any potential legal issues.
Well, I just want to also make it clear, we're not agreeing to it
understand.
Tonight at all.
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
You got it.
I think in the past we've added, they have been part of the resolutions, but that's only with voluntary agreement right. by the applicant.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I guess we could just mention that they're willing to discuss it in the future.
Right.
I mean, not as a condition of approval, just we'll just mention it kind of as a whereas in the resolution that the applicant agreed to discuss it in the future.
Yes.
We appreciate their willingness to talk.
Was this marked as an exhibit? What's being shown? Should we mark it? Is it necessary?
It's really not an objector.
I don't know if we want to call it 01. It's not an objector, really.
Yeah, right.
But
I think we got David's comments on the record, and if we needed to resurrect that, we can do that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Come on up.
Still a public comment period.
Yes. I just wanted to make sure that this discussion was closed.
Sylvia Thomas.
Truthful again?
Yes, always.
Please stay tuned.
I'm a frequent flyer. Sylvia Cobas, 1547 Ohio Avenue. So I have a couple of questions, especially about the sidewalk. Just want to make sure that that's a part of the condition. That the new sidewalk will be built, and also because I didn't hear that mentioned while you the conditions were being
the plan, I think.
Now it's good. Okay.
Yes.
And I just want to say that I'm very happy to see Mr. Denver back and all his questions, because that was one of my questions. That side will be closed off, just because I do see a lot of people walking in and out of the shopping center. That way, so that's very important. And also, I've been recently frequently walking through the shopping center from Route 1, Business Route 1, and I wonder if the shopping center owner would be willing to paint better crosswalks, especially from that side, from there is no marked crosswalks at all or marked walking paths from Starbucks side into the main shopping center. So it's a really hazardous task to cross from that side into the main building of the shopping center. So there is the Starbucks, there is the restaurant, the pool place, then you have the other building with the meatheads and something else is in there. So there are no sidewalks at all on the other side. And whatever sidewalks there are, they're really short and never connected through the parking lot as crosswalks or a crosswalk across the main drag through the shopping center. So you kind of have to force either the cars to stop or you're standing there for a very long time to wait to cross that main road that goes across. And also the new crosswalk that's going to be coming from that S-curve, right? So will there be, we don't have the traffic engineer, the traffic expert tonight, so I'm going to kind of mention that. Will that be that crosswalk? Will you have signs stop for pedestrians or yield to pedestrians? Because that is a main issue by Lidl, there is a lot of issues there where cars aren't, drivers aren't willing to stop for pedestrians, and that's going to be brand new. So with all these cars coming in around that curve, that's going to be an issue. And also, there is an entrance closer to that parking lot, closer to Princeton Pike. People cut through that parking lot and come out here and rarely stop. So when you were going to have all that pedestrian traffic there, that might be an issue with people who cut through that parking lot. So you will need extra signs there, watch for pedestrian. And especially if people start parking here with those cars. So I don't know if closing off that entrance would be a wise thing to do by Princeton Pike into that parking lot here, or something like that, so it would cut down on that traffic that cuts through here.
I don't think we'd have an, well, I'm gonna let our engineer answer. I don't think we'd have an issue
I'm just
installing additional signs if that is, you know, just field for pedestrians or the like, if that was
Yeah, so from a, the tractor supply standpoint, Lisa's correct. We can add the, you know, yield to pedestrian signs. That's an MUTCD sign. That's not a problem. In regards to the overall shopping center, it's 52 acres in size, and I've been a part of a lot of the redevelopment that's been going on. Due to the size and scale of this, it's not a complete redo. So I'm not.
No, I understand that. It's I completely understand what you're. This is an application for tractor supply, but with that, you know. With cutting off that sidewalk here and creating a new one, you're already, you have to consider that there is going to be more foot traffic, and there is a lot of foot traffic in that shopping center that walks around here. But for us coming out from Route 1, when we walk into that shopping center, and I do that quite often, my husband walks to get his haircut and he takes a walk, he doesn't drive. So we do a lot of walking. I'm not someone who, you know, walks there once and, oh, I have some. We do walk in there. There's a coffee shop and stuff like that. So it is something that if you do work with the owner, you know, this is something we can bring up now as Dave brought up the trail. This is a place and time, I believe, to bring it up to the owner to make sure that we appreciate the shopping center. We enjoy it. I love Lidl. I'm there all the time. So we use the parking, we use the shopping center a lot. And that's something that should be considered by the owner, especially since they are bringing in something so new to the shopping center. There are no outdoor displays in there. So this is completely new, and it will bring more traffic, foot traffic as well. And just a comment, I think the reason why those trees don't survive there, Starbucks, as they were rebuilding there was a bank, there used to be a bank there, right? They dug up a lot of porcelain. That used to be, all of it was a slump that was filled with Rensol tile and remnants of the broken porcelain. So those trees probably don't survive because they just don't have enough soil there. So if you want your trees to survive, dig deeper. Well, that'll be all.
Thank you. It's not a bad idea to talk about with the owner about just pedestrian enhancements in the future.
No, but you're here, so you can listen.
We can relay the message in.
Ma'am, if you'd raise your right hand, swear a testimony you're about to give us truthful.
Yes.
Thank you. Could you give us your full name, spell your last name, please?
My name is Patricia Connolly, and I live at 3 Irwin Place.
Thank you.
And I'm on the back, I don't know whether you, if you don't mind
please.
Me using your, okay, I'm on the back entrance over here. Okay. I've lived in this house for 60 years, so I've seen several floods. My one question is this the road that the trucks are coming in on, or are they coming in on Route 1?
They can come from technically both. We've designed it so that they can circulate both.
So Princeton Pike will now have truck traffic coming on it, correct? Besides the Amazon warehouse, now it's going to have the truck traffic coming into Tractor Supply. Am I understanding that correctly?
Tractor gets one tractor trailer delivery a week for 30
days. But it's still a tractor trip, okay? This over here, are you digging up a foundation here to put this up?
No.
Or you're just putting it right on the macadam?
Right on the macadam.
Same thing with this here?
No, we're going to rip up the pavement and put down concrete.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, that's all we have to do. Thank you.
No. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. All right. So should we...
I'm so sorry. I think it's worth noting specifically that she was talking about the tractor trailer and having a lot of tractor trailer traffic on Princeton Pike would be...
We already have Amazon
horrifying.
Coming up and down Princeton Pike at 3 o'clock in the morning, so, you know.
I hear you. And one of the things I specifically want to mention is that the applicant has affirmed several times, and it's important to the board, I think, that it's going to be one tractor trailer, so that we're not setting a precedent for having multiple tractor trailers every week coming in and out all over the place. We do a lot of things by precedent here, so I think it's important to note this is a very small variation compared to some of the other things that could go on here and could be asked.
The only problem is that corner of Princeton Pike.
We got to get you on the tape.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mr. Pervise can attest to this. That corner of Princeton Pike there where I am is right before Jackie's Creek, where the old where the hot dog stand is. That floods, okay?
Temples.
Yeah.
And I have barricades to go there, okay? I live on that creek right there, so I am just concerned about the traffic and the... macadam, okay, they just paved it, now you've got tractor trailers coming in, and once Tractor Supply is allowed to do that, the other tractor trailers for the other stores in the shopping center could also use it. So that's all I was concerned about. And the flood area right there.
And you're 100% right, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted on the record that it's we're only doing it because it's such a small disturbance in this particular instance. We don't want other people coming back and saying, well, you let them have a tractor trailer.
Correct.
We should get to have 5, 10, 15 tractor trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Back when that was Tejo's, there was a huge issue when Captain Paul's was Tejo's.
You're
on the mic. Oh, sorry about that. There was an issue with box trucks coming down that road just to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And even that was an interesting issue at the time. So it's a very good issue to bring up, and it's important to have on the record what we're allowing and what we're definitely not.
Well, because also when there's a heavy rain, Public Works comes out with their little, you know, signs and what have you, and next thing you know, you can't get through, now the tractor trailer's stuck. So I just wanted some idea of how they're gonna come in and out, that's all.
I'm not sure there's any restrictions on trucks coming in that way.
Yeah, I was going to say that, I mean...
Not right now. No,
I think it's just so convenient and just practical from a traffic side that the trucks that come to the center now use Route 1. I mean, it's a major highway and it's...
You're coming up to
Interstate 95. I just don't see trucks using Princeton Pike. Not to say that it's never been prohibited for the center, but it's just not something that's ever even come up because, like I said, it's just convenient to use Route 1. I think that's where people are going to...
Well, we don't want to make it too convenient in the future, though, with what's going on there.
Right.
Any other comments? All right, so can we have, we'll close public comment, and we'll go to take a motion to approve minor site plan with bulk variance application for the Warren Shopping Center.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I do that. wait for the recording secretary to do that. Okay, where are we at here? All right, so, Mayor Farmer.
I'll say yes, and also thank the applicant for taking into consideration the comments, both from the public and the recommendations.
Thank you.
For working with us.
All right, Ms. Connolly.
Yes.
Mr. Denver.
Yes.
Mr. DeShulu?
Yes.
And Ms. Lovelace?
Yes.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, everybody.
So we have hearings. Old business, we have to approve the 2026 planning board meeting schedule.
Yes.
That would be kind of a good question.
I think that could be kind of a just a consensus.
Talking about restrictions.
Hold on, guys. Sorry, we have to vote on the calendar 2026.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Jim.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, the schedule is attached for everybody. It's pretty much the same as it is every year. I think we could just kind of do an all in favor. If there's any comments, just let me know.
All in favor of the.
Aye.
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 Okay.
No opposed.
All right,
we're good. And
cool.
Well, do we have updates on the master plan?
Okay. I was going to say, well, I don't know if Val, I don't have any updates.
I didn't talk to Beth about that. I didn't know that you needed an update. But I can have her send an email if you'd like.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
I'll send her a text right now.
I was just going to bring up one other quick thing. I'll just take 2 minutes. So I wanted to get a feel. I know we don't have a full board tonight. Maybe we could bring it up at the next meeting. If there's any interest among board members for having documents in electronic format, as opposed to, these large packages that we deliver. I don't know if everybody, certain people want them, don't want them. We put everything on the website now, so everything is very available. A lot of people have laptops that could bring them if they wanted to, or, they said you could access them. So I'm kind of open to, just as an idea, throw it out there. We can obviously continue with hard copies for everybody, but if there's a consensus among the board, maybe something to think about it, we can talk about it at the next hearing when we have more people and see anybody's thoughts.
I still like it, but can you make them double-sided? I like the site plans, like I'm old-fashioned.
Well, that's the other thing,
so
too.
I need the site plan.
Well, there's kind of a middle ground to that I thought as well. I mean,
right.
We have these large stormwater reports, traffic reports, big architectural plans. I mean, it'd be one thing, we could give everybody site plans and the rest of the documents could be electronic. So I think we could do any kind of a hybrid of that, just so you're not just getting this big pile of information.
I think that's good because I make notes. I go out to the site, make notes, and just need to have some paper on. But if you do the reports in there electronically, just, that's the state of the art.
Yeah.
I like the idea of also saving public funds too.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe we'll bring that up as an option.
A little too old school with it. I like having it in front of me and across from here, circling in squares and arrows, and it looks like a football play when I'm done. But that's the way I work on it. I'd probably wind up printing it out and doing that on my own if it's all electronic.
Mostly plans, though, or reports as well?
Reports as well. Okay. Still looks, this is the back of my pamphlet when we're done with the night, so you can tell I kind of work on hard copy.
Well, that's okay. Like I said, it's something to think about when I'm making a decision tonight. I just wanted to put it out there, and then we can talk about it again at a future meeting. Okay.
They could mail you an envelope.
That's right.
No, they just have the guy who does the aging bus bring it around.
Okay, let's motion to close.
So moving, running, nice meeting.
Yeah.
Second? You got a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay.